But in the gospel reading, we look at the response of the shepherds, and it is instructive for us as we observe this holy day. For every day is to be made holy for us. Certainly, we consecrate this day to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But every day is called to be holy in that we live in the Lord's presence. We belong to him. We're blessed by that, and we want our behavior to be reflected according to that. The first thing is that we are called to encounter God anew. The angel announces to the shepherds that there was good news, and the angel announces that while the shepherds are about their ordinary duties. They had tended to their flocks during the day, and now it was the nighttime, and they brought their flocks to the sheepfold that was protected by a gate to protect the sheep from danger seen and unseen. They were taking turns to be awake to watch over the different flocks. They were involved in their ordinary duties, and yet God comes to them in an extraordinary way. God comes to us each and every day in the ordinary events of our lives. But when we count the blessings that we receive day after day, we have an extraordinary God who does marvelous things for us. And we need to count those blessings each and every day and make sure that they count in our lives. The shepherds at first were struck with great fear. And this was not the reverential fear of being in awe of God's presence, but this was being afraid of what was happening. And the word from the angel was, "Do not be afraid. Do not be racked with fear, but open your hearts and minds to trust God and what God is doing. He is fulfilling his promise to save humanity. It is happening tonight in Bethlehem." We need to hear the word of the Lord in our own lives to help us to deal with the different things that can happen in our lives. Just like every day, we celebrate this Christmas with a range of mixed emotions. The usual greeting is Merry Christmas or Happy Christmas, and we want to be merry, we want to be happy. And we may have a measure of that happiness and merriment in our lives, but we also deal with challenges in our lives, health challenges, for instance. That's why we have the live stream, to reach out to those who are not able to come and to worship with us because of their health challenges. The challenges that the families and friends and caregivers of those who have health challenges, they are thinking about that. In terms of family gatherings, holy days and holidays can emphasize the harmony that may exist in families, but they may also emphasize any division that exists in families. People who are concerned about their present and their future in regards to the different things that are happening in society. We hear a lot about peace, but there's a lot of violence, not only in our communities in the United States, including during Christmas shopping, but in the Holy Land, when it seems that violence will never come to an end there as well. Many different emotions that one can experience, grieving. This may be the first Christmas for some of us, and loved ones who were with us last Christmas, and they are not here. And so it is painful. But we never get over grief. Grief is experienced differently over time. And so there are loved ones who have entered into eternity years ago, but we still remember them and we still feel pained by their absence. We have a whole lot of different emotions, but God continues to enter into our lives and say that he has good news for us. It's not the power of positive thinking, it's the power of trusting in the goodness of Almighty God. We may be grieving, but God provides healing for us as we believe that our loved ones in Christ are people of eternal significance and that their lives have not ended, but they have changed. We may have health difficulties, but we know that our God is with us to help us. And even if we are not healed the way we want to be healed, we can see the blessings that God has provided for us as we have dealt with those health challenges. We may be wondering about the present or the future, but we can think about the past and how God has helped us along the way, and we can trust that the same God who helped us in the past can help us in the present and will be there for us in the future. Whatever we are dealing with in life, our God is with us, blessing us beyond measure and far more than we deserve, because we can be fickle people sometimes. But God is always faithful. And so we're called to encounter God anew, to meet God anew, to see how he is present in our lives. The shepherds could have said, "What do you mean that we would find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes, not able to move about? What do you mean that we find an infant in a manger, in a cave?" The manger was the feeding trough for the animals. The animals lived in the cave. What do you mean that the one who is the Christ and who is Savior and Lord is going to be there? We live under the Roman Empire. They demonstrate their might in many different ways, sometimes brutal ways. The shepherds could have said, "What does this mean?" But they were willing to trust God, to see it from God's perspective even before they could see the baby lying in the manger. And so they were willing to encounter God. They were willing to walk in faith, and that is what we're called to do at every aspect of our lives, walk in faith according to the word of the Lord. But not only are we to encounter God anew, we are to engage with God anew. When the shepherds, and we read this in verses 15 through 20 in Luke chapter 2, the verses following today's gospel reading, when the shepherds heard the message and the angels had shouted their glory to God, they went and they said, "Let's see what God is doing. Let's go as the angels have directed." And they went to the cave, and they saw Mary and Joseph there, and the Christ child in the center. And they shared with Mary and Joseph what they had heard from the angels. And it said that Mary marveled at what was said and kept all these things in her heart. And Joseph probably did as well. They sought to do the will of God, and certainly when they came to Bethlehem, they did not expect to have the birth of the Lord God and Savior in a cave, but they continued to be faithful to God, knowing that God was faithful to them. And now Mary and Joseph and the shepherds encourage each other to see what God has done. Even if most of Bethlehem and the entire world did not know what was happening in that cave, God was at work in a way that would impact humanity far beyond Mary and Joseph's and the shepherds' imagining. And that is what we have to do when we encounter God. Yes, come, let us adore him, but then now let's live in relationship with him. Let's cooperate with the ways he wants to help us to grow as beloved children of God. And he comes in the flesh. And so use the tangible signs that God gives to us with his help in terms of reading the scriptures, in terms of learning the teachings of the church, in terms of prayer, communicating with God, in terms of celebrating the sacraments. The Lord died and rose again to give us these sacraments so that we could have a tangible assurance that he is present with us It doesn't depend upon our feelings. It depends on our ability to trust God, which is an act of the will. He's given us the opportunity to gather together as a church. He's given us the opportunity to do works of mercy. As Jesus said, as you did it for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. Engage with God with the various means of grace in which he helps us. Don't take these graces for granted. That's what Christmas reminds us as the shepherds walked in faith to the cave and as they saw what the angels had said and they marveled at what God was doing. So, Christmas reminds us to encounter God, to rejoice in his goodness. Christmas reminds us to engage with God, cooperate with his grace, his very life and love dwelling within us. And then Christmas invites us to enjoy God. Christmas reminds us of the greatest gift exchange. God offers himself wholly and unconditionally to us. As I prayed in the collect of the opening prayer today, God comes to share in our humanity so that we can have a share in God's very life. That's the most important gift that we can receive on Christmas and every day of our lives. We are involved in a gift exchange that is continuous. God continues to love us. He continues to pour his life into us, whether we feel it or not. We don't want to box God in saying, I got to feel something before I think God is here. God is here. We've been baptized into Christ. He's already here. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the words of Christ, the bread and wine is totally transformed into the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here. And we have the joy of knowing that our God is not only dwelling among us, but dwelling within us. And that sets things in perspective. One may not have a happy Christmas, but you can have a blessed Christmas. You can have a joyful Christmas. For the gift of God is the most profound blessing and source of joy that we can ever receive. And no circumstance can take that away from us because God is ever faithful. And even when we forget that, God is still there at work in our lives for good. And so we say with the psalmist, I rejoiced when I heard them say, let us go to the house of the Lord. I rejoice when I hear that invitation from the altar, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. In a tangible way, just as he did in that manger, and as he grew up, and as he proclaimed his gospel, and built his church, and then bore his cross, and was crucified on it, but destroyed death with death itself, and rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, just as he did those things for us, he does this for us at this altar, and says, I'm wholly in love with you. I give of my love unconditionally. And I want to be in relationship with you. And then in response, we can say, God, I'm not all that I could be, but I thank you that you have never given up on me. That's the gospel of Christmas. You love me. And in response, I'll give you the most precious gift that I can offer, the gift of myself, to live in union with you within the communion of your church. Amen.